when he originally wrote the book, within the it was released in the late 60s. So when I got a hold of it, it was a new book, because I read it. I don't remember if I read it right before I got married or right after I got married. But I got married in 1968. So I read it in either 67, early 68, or 69, somewhere in there. And it mentions in the book that it was released originally in the late 60s. Now, I say originally, it's got a copyright in here for 2002. He's made some updates in it. When he initially wrote the book, you know, I was a young preacher straight out of high school, and I was having trouble with the book of Romans. Now, that's one of my favorite books, but I mean all those these and nows and hereunto's and what for's, and you know, they were distracting and confusing me in the King James, and I stumbled upon this book, and I, to this day, don't remember how I stumbled upon it, other than the grace of God. But at that time, they didn't have the translation of Living Bible. They had Living Letters. They had translated, they weren't done with the whole Bible yet. So they started with the epistles. That translation group started with the epistles. And so they, those epistles were called the Living Epistles. And later, as they got all the other books done, it became the Living Bible. And most of you are very familiar with that. And that's the translation he used in the book of Romans. And it's a very easy to read paraphrase. Again, there's a difference between an ordinary translation of the Bible and a paraphrase. An ordinary translation of the Bible, like King James, New American Standard Version, those types of translation are sticklers. They want to make sure they get the entire Greek meaning in there. The paraphrases, like New International Version, the Message, the Living Bible, these are paraphrases who want to get the overall feel of what the Greek is saying, but at the same time are willing to sacrifice a little bit of that to get this into even easy flow English, so people can pick it up and grab a hold of it right away. So I liken it to this. If I go down to Mexico, I don't speak Spanish. If I go down to Mexico and preach, or better yet, before I go down to Mexico to preach, they send some of my tapes down to Mexico. My preaching tapes. Or CDs nowadays. And the people can't understand it. So they have translators poring over everything I say to write it out, to translate my words into their words. And they hand out a written form of my messages. And so they say, we'd like him to come on down and preach to us. So I go down there. Now, we do it differently. They have a translator standing up there beside me. I say a sentence or a half a sentence, shut up, which would be difficult for me. And the translator would have to say, it's my turn now. But at any rate, you say a sentence or a half a sentence, and then the you work it out with the translator, you hush up, and they restate what you just said in English in Spanish. And the Spanish, maybe not that they speak in Spain, but what they're accustomed to speaking in Mexico. Just like our English is different than the English in England. You know, we have different metaphors, all kinds of different things. But nonetheless, the translator has to keep up. So the translator, the people poring over it and writing it out in English, could get down into detail what I'm saying. The translator has to paraphrase it. The translator doesn't have time to break it down and make sure he gets the right meaning of every English word I'm using. He just has to convey my thought to that audience. And that's kind of the mentality between the literal translations like the King James, New American Standard, Revised Standard, all those kind of word-for-word translation. They pour over the Greek and want to make sure that you have in your hand exactly what the Paul was writing. But a lot of people, if they're not Bible students, by that I mean they're not so interested in studying the Bible and learning all the nuances of it. They just want a good understanding. Well, they pick up the paraphrases, because the paraphrases aren't just easy to read. I mean, if you ever looked at the Bible called The Message, there's another translation out now. I got it on my computer. I can't find it in a bookstore. My wife wants one. It's called Easy to Read Version. And I Google it, and it doesn't even come up under Google. So it's something that somebody put together for eSword on my computer. And great paraphrase. Well, this guy, this Presbyterian preacher that wrote this book, as he's explaining the book of Romans to this young preacher straight out of high school, and other people like me, and other people have no interest in preaching but want a general idea of what the book of Romans is saying, he picked up an easy-to-read version called the Living Epistles, which we now know as the Living Bible. A great paraphrase. And as the years have went by, this book has sold somewhere around 5 million copies. As it's been the initial version, and then as he's recopyrighted it, made some changes, and released it again. Now he has went into a different translation called the New Living Translation. You know how there's the King James and the New King James? Well, besides the Living Bible, there is now a translation that's been updated a little bit called the New Living Translation. And that's what he uses in here. And he teaches through the book of Romans with his easy-to-read version. And he doesn't, you know, when I teach through chapter 1, it's going to take me 3, 4, whatever, messages to get through that last part, verses 18 to 32. Because I take my time. I want you to get a little something from all of it. He just uses the overview of the area to make some points. I'm saying all that to set up. I reread. I've been getting into this book again. And the other day, I read chapter 1, which is on chapter 1 of the book of Romans. Well, actually, chapters 1 and 2 are on chapter 1 of the book of Romans. And I reread this before church. The book of Romans, chapters 1 through 13, for lack of a better way to say, here's the general meaning of it. Hi, how you doing? So-and-so says hi to you, and I hope everything's great. You know the way you start a letter. Verses 14 through 17 get into a little more meat. Verse 14 talks about how he is a debtor to the whole world. Paul the Apostle writing, he was driven by this idea that he owed the entire world the right to hear the gospel. And so he wanted to get into all the world to preach the gospel. Verse 16, most of you are familiar with, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. And then in verse 17, an interesting one, for therein, in the gospel that I'm not ashamed of, in verse 16, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from heaven. Some like by faith to faith, for the just shall live by faith. And there's a lot of meat in verses 14, 15, 16, and 17. And then it's like he shifts gears. Now, when you're familiar with the whole book, you know, and I've taught through it often, when you're familiar with the whole book, you understand when you get into chapter 2 why he shifted gears in chapter 1. Darrell's a truck driver. He shifted gears a time or two. And that's what Paul did. I don't know if he ground the gears when he was shifting or not. But he's talking about this beautiful gospel in verses 14, 15, 16, and 17. This gospel that he thinks he owes it to everybody on the planet to as much as he is able to get to them and tell them this gospel. Verse 17, this gospel is how we find out how to be right with God. And then verse 18 through 32. Wow. He shifts gears about this beautiful gospel. Now, looking back on it, you understand he shifts gears for a couple of reasons. One of the reasons is, you know, I was sharing on Wednesday night. I mean, Christmas Eve. When we have visitors, I'm not sure where everybody is spiritually. So I take time to talk about things that I might not share with just the crowd here. And so I talk about how Jesus, the angel, said he was born unto you as a Savior. And if you remember Wednesday night, I said, if you don't need a Savior, you're not interested in a Savior. If you don't think you need a Savior, and I mentioned a great swimmer dives off a yacht to go swimming in the ocean, and somebody comes ashore and sees him out there and thinks he's drowning and throws him a lifeline. He's not going to grab that because he's not drowning. Jesus is the Savior of the world, but the only people grabbing the lifeline are the ones who know they need a Savior. The ones that have come to a realization, I'm drowning. There is no other way to heaven than Jesus. So when it comes to eternal life, I'm going under the third time. You know, the first time you stick a finger up, come up again another finger, come up again a third finger, the old cartoons. You know, when that third finger comes up, you ain't coming up again. You're drowning. And you and I realize that. We realized there was no way to heaven but a Savior. We needed saved. Our sins had doomed us to hell. We needed saved. And so he's shifting gear from this beautiful 14, 15, 16, 17, a highlight of how great the gospel is. And in verse 18, for therein is the judgment to God. I forget how it is in the King James right now, but let me read it to you, starting with verse 18 in the New Living Translation. When I first read this as a young man, might have been in this very book, in the original edition, or might have just been in a study I was doing. But I used to teach, when I got to verse 32, the last verse of chapter 1, I talked about who, knowing that what they do deserves the wrath of God, not only do it, but take pleasure in others that do it. When I read that, I thought of people way back then like Hugh Hefner. Hugh Hefner, who was bringing nudity into the mainstream of America, was no longer something you had to buy in a back alley somewhere in a brown paper sack, sneak it into the house. Now everybody had a Playboy. They were buying it just for the articles, right? And he not only knew what he was doing was wrong according to God's verdict, he took pleasure in others that did it. That was back in the 60s when I became introduced with this area of Scripture. It's worse now. It isn't just Hugh Hefner. Let me read it to you. This is in the New Living Translation. I read that again this afternoon. I wanted to cry for America. This isn't people sneaking out in the backyard to look at something. This has become mainstream America. Listen to what he says, beginning with verse 18 in the Romans 1 in the New Living Translation. But God shows his anger from heaven. Remember, he just got done talking about the grace of God, the gospel that saves us. And now he shows us why we need saved. But God shows His anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who push the truth away from themselves. For the truth about God is known to them instinctively. God has put this knowledge in their hearts. From the time the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky and all that God made. They can clearly see His invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse whatsoever for not knowing God. You know all these smart atheists who said you're just believing fairy tales? God's commentary to them is, you know better than that. I put it into your instincts. You instinctively know this didn't happen by chance. You look up there and try to explain it with all your foolish science that you think you're so smart with. But you know better. You instinctively know this is too special to have just happened. So God's verdict on evolution and atheism is, shame on you. You know better. I can't say that. They'd laugh me to scorn. God can say it. God said, He that created them said, I put it instinctively in you to know it. You know better. You had to talk yourself out of it. Now, why would they talk themselves out of it? Because they wanted something that God didn't want them to have, and they didn't want to feel bad about wanting it. So they had to come to a different conclusion and get God out of the equation. So God said in those first few verses I read you, verses 18, 19, and 20, they have no excuse whatsoever for not knowing God. That's God's verdict. People will say, but God, I didn't know. God said you had no excuse. Now, verse 21, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. Oh, my God. God's the Creator. He created us. We didn't like the demands of God, so we created our own God. Still call Him God. Still say we believe in the God of the Bible. But it's not the God of the Bible they believe in at all. We're going to show you that. They made up their own ideas of what God is like, it said here. Let me read that again. They began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. The result was their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they became utter fools instead. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people or birds or animals and snakes. A lot of them went that way. A lot of them just recreated God. I mean, I think of that. They recreated the Creator. Come up with their own God. We'll talk more in detail about that. 24. So here's, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God. Again in verse 21. So they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. In other words, they manufactured a God that fit into their political correctness. What they wanted to push. Certainly God is for this because it's right. A loving God would certainly be for this stuff because it's right. I was listening to a guest host for Rush Limbaugh today on the radio. Mark Stein is his name, and he was just railing. He said, they're still after this man and wife team that flips houses on Home and Garden Channel Network. You know why the left is after him? Not because he said anything offensive. not because he said anything on the show that can be construed as not politically correct. You know why they're upset with him? And they want the network to fire him. They keep trying to shame the network into firing a popular show for that kind of a network. You know why they're mad at him? He goes to one of these kinds of churches. That's all. He goes to a church that believes in the traditional definition of marriage. He goes to a church that believes you shouldn't kill babies, you shouldn't abort. He hasn't said anything on his TV show. He just attends one of these. And the left wants him fired. You ever notice that political correctness in talk is only applied to the right by the left? You make any statement, they want you fired. They want you out of there. How dare you say it? You're a homophobe, you're a racist, you're a whatever. But one of the liberals in California, I don't know if you heard, a Russian airliner crashed on Christmas Day. It held 180 some people, it's half full, 90 people died. Because the left has convinced himself that Russia caused them the election, and a left elitist in California said, I wish the plane had been full and there was 180 dead Russians instead of just 90. Nobody's wanting him fired from anything. He gets to say that the people who disagree with him should be dead. We can't say, I'm sorry, I can't bake a cake for your wedding. We don't get to say nothing. If they heard me today, they'd be wanting to get our tax exemption taken away. Anything we say on the right that disagrees with the left, they want us fired, they want us smeared, they want something. That's what drove them crazy. They threw everything at Donald Trump and he got elected anyway. Drove him stinking crazy. They smeared him in every which way. He's a racist, he's a homophobe, he's a woman hater. On and on and on. And he kept talking what he talked, and America elected him. And it's our only hope right now. I don't even know if the man's a Christian. He says he is, but all politicians do. I have no idea if he genuinely is a Christian. But I know right now he's the only hope for America to turn around, because this political correctness has gotten out of order to where we don't have a freedom of speech, but they do. Amen. They can call me a racist, how dare them. They can call me a homophobe, how dare them. But they have the right. It's me disagreeing with them. I don't have the right. They can object to everything I say tonight, call me every name under the book, and they got the right. Newspapers will never pick up the story about this guy in California saying he wishes there was 180 dead Russians instead of 90. As Mark Stein said, he wishes there was 180 grieving families in Russia today instead of 90. Listen. Claiming to be wise, they became utter fools instead. Instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worship idols made to look like mere people, or birds and animals and snakes. You say, what's that got to do with America today? There's not a lot of idol worship. There's a whole bunch of idol worship. They have made them a God that looks like a man. And they call him the God of the Bible. They say, well, I'm a Christian. Yeah, go to church. I'm a Christian. All right, let's read on. Verse 24. So God, now by the way, I'm reading you the Bible here. The translation is the New Living Translation. This isn't this guy's commentary I'm reading you. This is the book of Romans chapter 1. I picked this version because it makes certain things plainer than the King James makes it. Alright, listen. Because they rejected God, verse 24. So God let them go ahead and do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. Buckle up. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. Instead of believing what they knew was the truth about God, they deliberately chose to believe lies. All these people that go to church that are politicians, that say God made them this way. They know better. They know better, but they're looking for votes. It's all about votes. So, as a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's body. Instead of believing what they knew was the truth about God, they deliberately chose to believe lies. This is written about first century people. Never been truer about America. So they worship the things God made, but not the Creator Himself, who is to be praised forever. Amen. Now, listen. Here's where it gets heartbreaking. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex, and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relationships with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result, suffered within themselves the penalty they so richly deserved. The man who preached grace, this is commentary, I said it's not this guy's commentary, it's Paul's commentary. Paul said they got what they deserved. The King James, you know, they argue about the wording in the King James. Say, ah, that's not talking about sex. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. King James says something like the women left the normal something or other of their bodies and turned to one another, neglecting the man or whatever. But it means the same thing. This translation just puts it in simple hello language. So when they refused to acknowledge God, He abandoned them to their evil minds and let them do things that should never be done. God said, you don't want to do it my way? Then do it your way. That's basically what it's saying. So you've got people saying, oh, I'm a Christian, running for office all the time. You have a lot of other people teaching schools and colleges saying, I'm a Christian. Really? What God are you serving? Oh, I serve the God of the Bible. Really? Have you ever read the Bible? Do you know what the Bible says about all these politically correct agendas you're pushing? Transgender? You're telling us that God made a mistake when He created that guy to look like a boy, but he's really a girl? You're telling me that because this man lusts after another man instead of a woman, that God made him that way? Have you read the Bible? You might believe in a God. You do not believe in the God of the Bible. God defined morality as clearly as you can define it. Forgive me, we're all adults in here. The only kind of sex that is acceptable to God is between a husband and a wife. There is no other kind of sex. Don't call me homophobe because there's no other kind of heterosexual sex that God accepts. People moving in together that aren't married are sinning. It's called fornication. In the Bible, unless one of the two are married, at least one of the two, then it's called adultery. Adultery is fornication, but it's a specific kind of fornication. Fornication is any forbidden sexual act of any kind. So, God forgive, or God forbid, I suppose we'll be legitimatizing one of these days bestiality. Some guy will say, well, God made me like my goat. If God made me that way, it must be all right with God. The Bible says here God didn't make you that way. You wanted to go that way, so He said, go. He turned them over to their vile thoughts. They weren't born that way. Now don't get me wrong, some kids might grow up in a liberal house. I'm not talking liberal politically now, although to be honest with you, that's where most of it's at. I would certainly lose our tax exemption if they heard me say this. The left has totally thrown God out of the equation. All the while saying, most of them saying, I'm a Christian. So you follow Jesus? Is that what you tell me? But you're pushing all this stuff. You're a pusher. You're like the guy in the street corners pushing dope. You're encouraging young people in high school and in college to experiment. You might not be a heterosexual. You won't know until you experiment. You might be a homosexual. You might be bisexual. You will not know until you experiment. You owe it to yourself. Go out there and experiment. Here, have a handful of condoms to help you. That's what's happening in high schools and college, folks. I'm not exaggerating. They are being encouraged to experiment. Social engineering is the word I'm looking for. We don't have, to their liking, enough homosexuals in America, so they're trying to produce more by getting people to experiment. We don't have enough transgender, so they are encouraging people, explore your sexuality. Maybe you have the parts of a boy, but you're really a girl. It's called social engineering. Why are they doing it? Because if they can get them in those specific minority groups, they'll fight for them and get their vote. They could care stinking less about any of them. They simply have to make groups that feel like they're fighting for them, so they can get their vote, and they don't care what those groups do. But they stand up and tell us how much of a Christian they are. Somebody needs to start looking them in the face and say, what God do you believe in? You believe in the God of the Bible? Because you're saying things that are contradicting what the God of the Bible says. Matter of fact, if you believe in the God of the Bible, why do you hate churches that teach against homosexual marriage? If you believe in the God of the Bible, why do you hate churches that say abortion is murder? The created have recreated God into their image. God created us in His image. So being those who want to return the favor, we've recreated God into our image. God's a loving God. He wouldn't let anyone go to hell. God doesn't care who you have sex with. He created us to want that. Really? Okay. Well, maybe before you talk for God, you ought to actually read His book. Might not hurt if you read His book. Don't listen to some liberal preacher tell you what she's telling you. Read the book. Amen? I tell you, when I have a Catholic friend at work, and when he tells me sometimes he has to, if he doesn't understand something, he goes and asks the priest. And I'm thinking, and I try to slip in, well, the priest certainly like me. I'm a preacher. I got my opinions. The priest has his. But what matters is, what does the Scripture say?
Yeah.
And ultimately, the responsibility for what you believe rests on you, not the priest. My congregation, the responsibility for what they believe rests on them, not me.
Yeah.
I need to present you things. You need to consider what I say and pray the Lord give you understanding. You need to study for yourself. You believe everything I say because I said it, you're a fool. Amen? God gave you a mind. How many of you are glad God gave you a mind? He wants to speak to you and teach you to journey through the Scripture so you can understand what He says and stand on your own conviction. If you believe what I believe, you're trying to stand on my conviction. And I read this afternoon, and I feared for America. And I realize that things, what I'm saying tonight, are going to become more and more dangerous to say. And if you simply believe it because I say it, and the heat gets on me for saying it, you'll forsake me. It has to be your conviction. You're not going to jail for something I believe, trust me. Now, you might go to jail for something you believe. So you have to decide exactly what you believe. I can bring things to your attention, but you owe it to yourself to seek it out and say, God, what are you really saying here? Pastor Hannah Wright. Because there might come a, you don't know until you study it. That's my exact point. You don't, when you say, I know what you say is true, you're doing the exact thing I don't want you to do. I don't want you to believe it because I'm telling you. I want you to take the responsibility to get in this. And I give you notes to take, not tonight, but I give you notes to take home so you'll know the exact area I taught from and you can study it for yourself. Don't just read my notes and comment because then you're believing what I believe. You say, why are you talking this way? Because I fear, unless President Trump coming into office, I fear if he can't change the political correctness of this country, I don't know if it's too deep-seated. If it can't be changed, some of us are going to jail. We're either going to jail or telling God, I'm sorry, I can't stick up for you. One or the other. So we have to figure out what we believe because political correctness is coming to get us. Unless a President Trump who says he hates political correctness can get a change. But it is so, it's in our colleges, it's in our high schools, and now it's in so many homes in America that grew up in those colleges and high schools and have children of their own. It is everywhere. It is the cancer of our society. It is killing America. Pray for your coming president. You know, I was thinking the other day, the holidays are about over. We got New Year's Day yet. And the holiday season starts with Halloween. Then we have Thanksgiving, then we have Christmas, and then New Year's. 20 days after New Year's, well actually 19 days after New Year's, which will be the 20th, President-elect Donald Trump's going to be sworn into office. I find it interesting, you got Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. Halloween is a time of scary stuff. Thanksgiving is a time to thank God. Christmas is a time to rejoice in the birth of Christ. New Year's is a time of new beginnings. And there's a lot of people thankful that the holidays are over right now. But there's a lot of us in America on January 20th are going to feel like we're having a second Christmas. But the other half of America is going to feel like they're having a second Halloween. So the new year is going to be divided right down the middle. And they're going to think this is the scariest Halloween we've ever had. The rest of us think it might be the last best chance for this great country. Now let me read on. Verse 28. When they refused to acknowledge God, He abandoned them to their evil minds and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, fighting, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. Murder in parts of this country like Chicago is growing exponentially. More and more people. They set people free to live any way they want. Does it make them happy? No, they're out killing each other. They're out killing each other. And then there are others who aren't just out killing each other, they're out killing the ones who disagree with them. So God said, all right, you want that way? Then I'm going to abandon you to your own thinking. You don't want to include me in your thinking? All right, I'll step back. I'm a gentleman. You're rejecting my thinking? Then I'll just step out of the equation, leave you to your thinking. And the result of their thinking that they think will create a utopia, a perfect place, let everyone do what they want. Party down, right?
Yeah.
Have a good time, everybody.
And
is it making America better?
No.
You got more and more murders.
Yeah.
You got police officers being shot in the back.
Yeah.
You got all kinds of stuff going on in America right now. You set people free, and first of all, you're not setting them free. You're delivering them to the bondage of sin. But you think you're setting him free. Do what you want. Whatever you want. We love you. God loves you. Go party.
Yeah.
Don't listen to those crazy churches.
That's true.
And if somebody has a flipping the house deal on Home and Garden, he goes to one of those churches, we'll get him off the air just for doing that. People are getting, he gave three or four examples of people that are getting fired in America on the right simply for believing in a Bible message. They shame their bosses into firing them. On the other hand, people on the left say something stupid, the bosses make excuses for them. Well, we certainly don't condone that, but he said it was supposed to be in jest. And he didn't mean it the way it sounded. So the left can say any erroneous thing and not get fired because people on the right are too busy living to want to get everybody fired. But people on the left, on the other hand, are driven to shut everybody up that disagrees with them. That's their drive, to shut everybody up, all right? So God said, all right, you don't want me in there? I'll step out of the equation, and as a consequence, as I mentioned, you're full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, fighting, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. And it goes on. They are backstabbers, haters of God. Not of the God they created, but of the God of the Bible. They're haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. Listen now. Here's America for you. They are forever inventing new ways of sinning. And they're disobedient to the parents. It's amazing, in this horrible list, the Holy Spirit includes disobedient to parents. Isn't that amazing? So the Holy Spirit's saying, that's bad too. And we're raising a society right now when nobody is supposed to say no to the child. And so we're having children, there have always been some disobedience to parents. I mean, that's just a natural thing. Kids want to know and they rebel sometimes. But now it's getting to be a thing. Teachers don't tell them no. Nobody tells them no. We just let them explore and do what they want. Give them no restraint. They're disobedient to parents. They refuse to understand. They break their promises and are heartless and unforgiving. That's the amazing thing. The people who are getting their way aren't happy. They're heartless and unforgiving. Again, I don't know if I'll ever do it. I keep saying I need to write a song. Don't call me a hater while you're standing there hating me.
Good one.
I don't hate anybody on the left. A lot of them, if they knew me, would hate me.
Go for it.
Simply because of what I believe. Christians don't hate people who disagree with them. They pray for them.
That's
They hate the gospel message. They are fully aware, listen to this, they are fully aware of God's death penalty for those who do these things. Yet they go right ahead and do them anyway. And worse yet, they encourage others to do them also. It's that last verse there that back in the 60s I thought of Hugh Hefner. He not only knows he shouldn't be exposing women's bodies, but he not only took pleasure in doing that because of the profit he made, he took pleasure in others doing it. I would to God it was still Hugh Hefner. Now it's an entire political party who call, many of who call themselves Christians, and refuse to embrace what God says about morality. So the God they created, the God that created them, says, here's right, here's wrong. The God they created is a God that believes exactly what they believe. That they created, that God created people, men to like other men. God created women to like other women, romantically I'm talking. God created guys with boys' bodies to really be girls. That God did all this. And I'm thinking to myself, if that's true, now there's, don't misunderstand me, I'm not comparing the two. I'm comparing the idea. Homosexuals are not hurting me. Two men living together in a romantic relationship, whether they're legally married or not, are not hurting me. I go home at night, they're not doing anything to hurt me. However, pedophiles hurt everybody. They hurt children, they hurt our country. But, couldn't pedophiles, so I'm not comparing the two, please understand that, pedophiles are a zillion times worse than homosexuals. But couldn't they make the same argument? I've always liked children. God made me that way. Isn't that the argument of the homosexual? I've always been attracted to other men. God made me this way.
You made yourself that way.
How about the guy who likes his goat? Getting back to the goats. I've always liked my farm animals. God made me this way. I've always wanted 10 wives. Ought to have a right to have me 10 wives. It's coming. It's coming. But anyway, I didn't hand the notes out because literally when I reread this afternoon, thanks a lot. When I reread this tonight, I just thought, my God, how much time have changed in the 50 years since I read it the first time. Almost 50 years. Well, it's been possibly 50. 45 to 50 years ago when I first read this book. All I worried about was Hugh Hefner. Now we have an entire party, an entire system of universities, an entire system of public high schools, and the end goes on and on, that are pushing the very things that the Bible says are sin.